800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
When did you start Mothers Against the Iraqi War?
You know, Phil, losing Dylan, our eldest son, taught me a lot and how precious life can be. And it has made me think about the war with Iraq differently. And Phil, I know there are going to be a lot of anxious mothers. I am now officially against the war with Iraq. My husband Steve and I talked about it. Losing Dylan has taught me how precious life can be.
You are against the war with any proposed war with Iraq?
Yes, I am, Phil.
I'm not going to try and dissuade you. I certainly understand your feelings. I respectfully disagree with you.
Well, Phil, you know, we buried a child in this house, so I think I know a little bit about what I'm, you know, about what I'm talking about.
I didn't mean any disrespect, but you said you were thinking about the anti-war movement.
Well, I was thinking about the anti-war movement, Phil, and when I get my mind into something, and you can ask Steve.
I see something else, Phil.
You can ask Steve, when I get my mind going, I don't let something rest until I've solved it. And you can ask Steve.
She's really something else.
Well, what you said that you have a solution to the problem of being heard on the war with Iraq. You don't think the anti-war movement is being heard.
Well, Phil, every mother knows that when you're tense, when you're happy, when you're sad, or when you're full of fear, it transfers onto your children. Here was the idea that I had, and I said it to Steve, and he looked at me, and we said, oh, my God, it is something that will be heard in Washington. All of the mothers, all of the women who are listening to me right now who have children, and really, the war with Iraq and our opposition to it is about children, the Iraqi children, who are going to be victimized by American bombs, and of course, also Saddam Hussein, too, but that doesn't really matter because we're talking about American moms. And so I would say this. If you're tense and nervous, it transfers onto your child.
Right.
If your child becomes tense and nervous, he goes to school, he can't concentrate on his work, he is ill. Do you see what I'm saying, Phil?
So the children are taking their fear, they're taking your fear, and they're bringing it to school, and they're making the other kids afraid.
Yes.
What is the purpose of that?
The purpose is simply this. Washington will hear a generation of school children are upset and worried and nervous about the war with Iraq. Our children here at home are suffering, and that's the difference between what's being tried with the anti-war movement and my idea. And I just became anti-war last week with the death of Dylan. But as I've said, Phil, when I jump into the middle of something, when I get my mind wrapped around something, solutions happen. And I really...
What about the people who are involved in the anti-Iraq war movement now? You think they're ineffective?
I'm embarrassed for a lot of them. I'm not going to waste my time marching up and down a road with something written on cardboard and look ridiculous. I'm not going to make a fool of myself.
What you're proposing is you want to make kids sick in order to get the notice from Washington.
No, it's wrong to do that to a child, but in the long run it will stop the war so that the children of Iraq can go about their lives doing whatever they do. And our children will also learn a valuable lesson. War is bad. It makes you sick. You see, Phil?
Don't you see this as a kind of manipulation? So, Bobby, what you're proposing is, if you put enough fear into your kids and make them go to school afraid about the war, they won't get any work done, the other kids will be afraid, and suddenly we'll have a national problem on our hands.
If enough mothers join me, enough mothers who are concerned with the war and with its outcome and with its possible danger to children, especially the Iraqi children, we can make enough of our kids. You know, I don't want to make my children sick, Phil.
Well, that's what you're proposing.
No, I'm saying let them feel a little bit of the fear so that they just get enough of almost of a paranoia going. Washington will notice that.
All right. That is a manipulation of the kids is what I'm trying to say.
You know something, Phil? We buried a son in our house last week. I don't manipulate children. I don't harm children. I love. I'm a woman. I create life. I have two surviving sons. I am simply saying, show your fear of the war, and the children will feel fear too, and then they'll go to school. They won't concentrate on schoolwork, sick to their stomach, diarrhea, nosebleeds, and an American warmongering government can't ignore it.
I don't know what's worse, America fighting a war in Iraq or you making your kids sick through fear.
How dare you?
Well, I'm not trying to be offend you, but it's what's worse?
What I'm doing is going to stop a whole lot of body bags being filled. That's what I'm doing.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley is with us, a president of the PTO of Western Estates. She's a mother of two sons. She lost a son in an automobile accident last week. She has just become anti-Iraqi war and feels it's important to stop this thing. You don't believe in marching. You believe in making the children sick.
No, I didn't say sick, Phil.
Well, you're saying make the kids so full of fear about the potential war with Iraq they take it to school.
Yes, absolutely. And you know something, Phil? I know there's a lot of jealousy out there. People have been walking up and down with stupid-looking signs for a long time. I don't do that. I come up with ideas. Ideas that will move the machinery of government. Ideas that will be heard in Washington, D.C. Ideas that will motivate the health and welfare services of this country. The only way this government will listen is through the children. And I have two boys that I don't want to see dead the way their elder brother is. I look for solutions. I don't go up and down a street with a sign with a lot of... I don't know who these people are.
If you're anti-Iraqi war, then perhaps you'd like to join in an anti-war protest. I got to tell you, I'm pro-war.
Oh, yeah, I know. We've heard your program, Phil. I've listened with sadness because I think you're very funny and you're very talented, but I think you're so wrong. You're so wrong.
You know, you don't see the big picture, Phil.
Is that Mr. Dooley?
Yeah, see the big picture.
My husband doesn't think you're seeing the big picture. A war with Iraq is going to cause bombs will go off, everything. And we can't have that. So I'm now anti-war with Iraq, and my idea is better than anyone else's in terms of stopping it.
All right. All I'm saying is that the children are innocent in all of this, Ms. Dooley, and if you are putting fear purposefully into kids so they take it to school and become neurotic, I think it's ultimately a very destructive thing that could traumatize them.
No, so no one is really innocent. They were born in America. You know, the children of today were born in America, Phil. They do have some part of the guilt in all of this, too. So we want them to do their part. And if the children are not feeling the fear, there's a lot of things you can do. You don't have to give them fear. Give them a little spilled milk or some bad cheese or some uncooked hamburger. It makes them sick. They can vomit.
Well, now we're talking about making them physically ill on purpose?
I'm saying what it will do is... It will make the children sick. When they ask, why am I sick, Mommy? You say, because of the war.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley, who has recently become anti-Iraqi war, talking about how to bring children, how to use children emotionally. You don't see that this is wrong.
Phil, I think the alternative, a lot of filled body bags, is wrong. And I buried a child in this house, so don't tell me about children.
All right, let me go to Heather. Heather, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi, ma'am, you're no better than a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
You're no better than Saddam Hussein.
You know, I buried
and
a son
you
in
know
this
what?
House, okay? So
well,
don't tell me.
I'm a soldier, and I'm also a mother. My husband's a sailor.
Mm-hmm.
And
have you ever buried a boy in your house? Have you ever buried a
okay,
child?
Okay, now you bury children under your house?
I lost a son last week to an automobile accident.
Maybe
the death of your children would be funny to me.
Okay, that has nothing to do with your point. Your point is that what you're proposing is a form of child abuse called Munchausen by proxy. Are you aware of that?
Listen, Jarhead.
Don't call
I'm not
her
in
Jarhead.
The Marine Corps.
All right, just whatever.
I'm
grunt.
Not in the Marine Corps.
Okay, grunt. Just
and
do
maybe
you do
you
your
need
job.
To have
you do your job, I'll do mine. All right.
You know what?
Now oil your weapon, air whatever.
I'm ashamed that you are an American citizen.
Well,
maybe
I'm
you
ashamed.
Need to move to Iraq.
I'm ashamed you're a mother. I
you
can't
need
believe
to
you're a mother.
You need to move to Iraq and see what
child,
good you can
you
do
have,
over there.
Is it
you
your
and
child?
Saddam should hook up.
Is it your child or did you have a surrogate?
It's my child.
Right,
it's none of your.
I don't know how lesbians do it.
This is your relative.
All right, are we getting into personal assault?
Well, she started it with burying my child under the house. So,
well, that's what
you know,
said.
You reap what you sow, Heather. Now, how do lesbians have kids?
All right. If we're going to do this, I'm going to hang up the phone on both of you, all right? 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley joining us. They are anti-Iraqi war, and they believe the way to stop the war with Iraq is to spread fear into the children. Eventually, it gets back to Washington. I think it's a little bit manipulative of the kids. I think it's also manipulative of her to say, well, because she lost a son last week, she knows more about these things. You know, Ms. Dooley, can I get her back on the line? Ms. Dooley, you talking about your son.
My son is dead, all right? I know more about what children need than average people. I know more about the value of the love of a child than average people. So I know what's best for our children in this country.
All of them?
I'm not going to say all of them, Phil, but I lost a son. So I know a little bit more, I think, than most mothers about what's best for the children.
No. I want to be clear. You know what's best for another woman's kids than she does.
Has she lost a son?
Well, I don't know, but are you saying that you know what's best for another woman's kids than she does?
Has she lost a son?
All right, let's say she hasn't.
I think I know a little bit more about a mother's love for her son, yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Do we spread our fear of the war to our kids, and that'll really send it home to Washington? Do we use our kids that way? Here's one woman who says it's worth it, considering the alternative. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Out of Bounds.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm on the line with Bobby Dooley. She's the president of the Western States Parent Teachers Organization. On the line with me also is her husband, Steve. The two of you are anti-Iraqi war, but recent converts, correct?
So within the last few days. I don't know that that's important, but...
I say that to establish that within the last few days, since the death of your son, which, again, I'm very, very sorry for...
Thank you.
You are against the war with Iraq, to the point where you want to do something more than just demonstrate and protest.
I just think the demonstrators are really, I'm embarrassed for them. I think they look foolish. I think what I would do is I would do something creative. I come from a theater background, and I'm very creative. I'm always drawing. I'm always writing. My husband says that I'm sort of a whirling dervish around here, but I love to write. I love to create. I love to draw. And I'm thinking, what can we do with the anti-war movement?
What is that, Bill?
So I thought what I would do is let's spread fear. Now, no, I don't want to hurt my children. I want to just scare them a little bit so that enough of them, if enough mothers spread enough fear, the classrooms of America will shut down.
Is that what you want, our classrooms to shut down? I mean, do you want the kids not to learn?
Phil, it is civil disobedience against a very destructive war that kills. Now, I lost my son, so I don't think you or any of your listeners are in a position to question my authority on this.
All right, let me take some phone calls and see, because we may very well talk to some other people who've lost a son. Here's Tawny. Tawny, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Ma'am, I'm very sorry you lost your son.
Thank you very much. He was 15 years old. He was a beautiful boy.
I have a 14-year-old, and I feel very sad.
God bless you.
But what you suggested earlier about making our children sick, and especially with food, that is very, very sad, and it scares me. You know, they already feel the fear. They watch the news.
War is sad.
But look at what choice do we have? What you were suggesting was no different than what Saddam Hussein is planning on doing with his kid,
with his
people, putting uniforms on him in the U.S. and poisoning his people.
Saddam Hussein, he blows things up. I'm not saying to blow up the children.
But you want us to make our kids more fearful than what they already are, to where it ruins their future in school?
Just temporarily. until...
No, not temporarily. Life is tough enough for them already. They don't need a loved one doing this to them.
Attorney,
Pam, I'm sorry. I really think you need to go get some counseling for losing your son and really open your eyes to what you suggested to do.
All I'm trying to say is I think I'm in a better position than you to judge what's best. I lost a son. You still have your son. I'm trying to help you keep your boy.
I will not poison my son or put more fear into him. I will be honest with him on what's going on in the world, but I will not purposely try to mess with his mind.
The only way to save these children...
I don't want his mind, Dave.
The only way to save these children is to somehow poison your son, not so it kills him.
Ma'am!
I'm not talking about...
That's the sick mind!
Listen to what you're saying, Bobby. Listen to what you're saying.
No, Phil, the two of you need to hear me. I'm not saying kill the child. I'm saying slip something into his food that was...
How can your children trust you?
Mm-hmm.
What about trust? What about trust, ma'am? Think about what you're doing, because
my
if your children hear this, I would not never drink anything at your house. Think about it, ma'am.
No,
you need to find a different answer.
My children are not hearing this, and besides, my children trust their lives with me. I would never do a thing to harm my
That's
children.
That's a big mistake, ma'am.
Well, wait a minute. You just said that you're going to make your kids sick.
So that we can save a generation of young men from filling up body bags, I think it's worth it. And I think I'm in a position to know better than the two of you.
I don't think so, ma'am, and I'm sorry. I got to go. This is really upsetting me. I'm sorry. Bye-bye.
It should only upset you if you don't want to... Oh, she is... What a drama queen. I mean, really...
Well, the woman, I mean, she sounded...
Oh, she wasn't upset. She's one of those talk show callers that like to call in and go... Oh, she wants to impress you, the host. And you know why, Phil? Because, seriously, there are millions of American housewives who listen to you every day. And I'm sorry, Phil, I have to say it. Probably masturbate.
Will you please? Please!
I'm sorry, Phil. I've become very honest since the death of my son.
I'm sorry for the death of your son. Please don't go down that road. That lady was expressing a valid opinion, and it has nothing to do with anything.
I think they're trying to impress you. Oh, hi, Mr. Hendry. I have this opinion and that opinion. I think it's disgusting.
Is she hung up on line one?
Yeah, it's all straight.
1-800-449-8686. Chris, go ahead. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, hi. I would like to ask this lady if, you know, if her son had died, perhaps, in the 9/11 tragedy, how she would feel. I do not have a son, but I lost a brother in the Twin Towers.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear that, Chris, but it's really not the same thing. Losing a son's much worse because for 9 months, every day I did what I could to take care of that child. Every day I ate right.
You know, so did my mother. So did my mother.
The day that
and
he was
I
born.
Think that it is a tragedy that anybody
and
has to die.
I remember the morning he was born and how beautiful he was.
And I remember that of my younger brother, ma'am. But let me tell you something. Do you know what the byproduct of fear is? It's anger.
Can I just ask one question?
Sure.
You didn't give birth to your brother.
Why would she give birth to her brother?
Because in certain parts of our culture, I'm sorry.
What is that supposed to mean? She had sex with her father?
I don't know where you're going with this, ma'am.
All right, go
but
ahead.
Basically, the byproduct of fear in this country is going to be anger. You're going to cultivate an angry society of men and women.
Well, we should be angry at what's being done in the war on Iraq and all of the bombs and the children that live there who they don't eat well anyway and they'll eat worse.
You know, perhaps you
That's
should be concerned in fighting a war against
Right.
transportation, airplanes, and cars. I'm sorry that your son died in a car accident, but perhaps that's where you should focus your attention.
You're not married to your father or anything like that.
Why are you saying that?
I don't know, Phil. I've heard some of the callers on your program.
You know, ma'am, I think that your problem is that you're starting to realize that there are other viewpoints other than how you think, and you're trying to combat that.
Right, with a lot of silliness, yeah. All right, Chris, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Should we instill fear in our children to protest the war that way? 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And I'm very creative, and when I decided that I wanted to be against the war with Iraq...
All right, we're right back, Bobby. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby and Steve Dooley are with us. Mr. Dooley, I thank you as well. Are you also against the war?
Pretty much against the war, too.
And I'm so sorry that you lost your son, Dylan, last week.
But you have to understand, Phil, it's one thing to say you're sorry. It's another thing entirely to... I'm so sorry. I had Quiznos.
That's okay. I understand.
It's one thing to say that you're sorry. It's another thing to understand what it is not to have a son. And my son, Dylan, I didn't want to see him come back in a body bag either. Instead, he was in an automobile accident. And do you know, Phil, and I don't say this to shock you, but they didn't put Dylan in a body bag. They put him in two body bags, and I think you know what that...
All right, ma'am, please.
No, but I think you know what that means.
I know what it means. I don't want to hear any more graphic description. Please.
Graphic? I'm his mother. I brought that baby into the world. And then I saw him I brought him into the world in a blanket, and I saw him taken out in two bags.
Well, your son's garbage or something.
It's almost as if God hates you. Hates your living guts.
I am very, very sorry.
You want the reality of war, Phil? There it is. There it is in a nutshell, Mr. and Mrs. America, all you people out there. So don't you ever put me on your radio show and tell me that I don't have the right to comment on other people's children.
Ma'am, you're not their mother.
Mr. Henry, I lost a son.
I know that, but you're not the mother of those children. The other women are.
I think I know a little bit better about it than they do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go over to Sue.
I think they used...
Go ahead, Sue.
Hi.
Yes, hi.
Boy, I'll tell you what, you know, she needs to lose her kids. She's going to put them in endangerment. She needs to go get some help.
Endangerment?
War or no war, lady.
That's not a word.
You know, everybody's getting tired of this, listening to you.
Endangerment isn't a word, dear.
Don't call me dear, all right? But I think you really need help.
Well, I'm spelling that D-E-E-R.
Listen, I'm passing through this state, and I was really appalled. I listen to this channel every time I come down here every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really tired of listening to what you want to do with these children. And I hope somebody is listening to you.
How are we going to stop the war?
That will... Like making children sick.
Well, that's the only way you'll get the attention of Washington.
Your husband needs to get you under control.
My wife.
He's standing there backing you, and I'm wondering if your other two kids are safe.
I back my wife 100%.
Do you back her up, Mr. Dooley?
Yes, I do.
Well,
see?
Well, two wrongs don't make a right.
Could we pitch in to help you buy a new pallet?
You know what? When you were talking trash to that lady that's in the service, I don't know what... I don't understand you, but wish that Phil wouldn't give you all this airtime.
Well, we're talking about...
I don't think you deserve it.
We're trying to give the forum to the anti-war movement.
And I represent all people who are against the war. And the one thing we all really want to do is to transfer our fear and our nausea onto our children.
But to make children sick, you want to give them raw hamburger and spilt milk? That's cruel and inhuman treatment.
Raw hamburger, all it is poo soup for 2 days and you're done.
Oh,
and
please.
Poo soup.
Listen,
diarrhea?
You got a good show. You got a good show. I enjoy listening to you.
I appreciate it very much.
But she's making...
Can I say one thing? Sue, do you have children?
Yes, I have two, and they're both in the service.
Oh, my God.
No, my children,
I got
two in the Air Force.
Yeah, her children are well-trained young men who are in the U.S. military. They'll know what their duty is
when
the time comes.
And they're proud. I have one son that trains the British to fly.
How can he do that? British already know how to fly.
No.
He's training RAF, right?
They come over here to the United States. He's in Charleston. They come to the United States. They go back to Britain. He has to go back and follow up on them. They both fly. Okay? They're college graduates. And I had them. I'm not a surrogate mother, but I am proud of my sons, and they're proud of their country.
Let me tell you how you do it. I wouldn't even think of making
my children sick.
Well, wait a minute. It's very easy. You make jambalaya, which has shrimp and clams. leave it out overnight without refrigerating.
Oh,
so look what we have for
Phil,
lunch.
Phil, I gotta go.
Look what we have for lunch.
He's wasting my time.
You know something? It's disgusting to hurt children. I think that's what people are hearing. They're,
but okay. Why don't you take her off the air?
You'd rather they be put in body bags. You'd rather they be in a body bag.
You need to go.
It's my son, lady.
I'm sorry you lost your son.
Thank you very much.
But you need to go get some help.
Sue, please, your children couldn't wait to get away from you.
No, my family's close. I've got a wonderful family.
I believe that they are, Sue. I believe that they are.
Every time somebody kind of hits you, you get sarcastic.
No, I honor your family. I honor your family. I honor your son's love for you. I'm simply saying a little bit of jambalaya left out overnight.
I don't care what it is.
Right,
I wouldn't even give that to my cat. And I don't even have a cat.
You're letting the best part of the day pass you by.
I hope and I pray. I'll say a prayer for you, lady, okay?
I think no matter how much we may be a bit against the war in Iraq, hurting children in order to... This is what I can't stand, these adults. Thank you very much, Sue. These adults...
don't talk about me as if I'm not here.
All right, I'll talk about you like you're... I don't like adults using their kids. I don't like to see kids in... pro-life demonstrations. I don't like seeing kids in anti-war demonstrations. I don't like seeing kids in pro-choice demonstrations or pro-war demonstrations. Leave the kids alone. Don't manipulate them and don't use them.
I'm sorry, Phil. It was a Quiznos Italian sub.
Here is Chris. Chris, go ahead.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I just wanted to make a quick comment. I won't take up too much time, but... This lady, I honestly believe she needs some serious psychiatric help. I don't know why she's still walking the street.
Because I'm against war.
You should be in jail for child abuse is what you should be.
You know,
I have a child myself. I have not seen her. I can understand your loss for your son. I have a daughter myself who I have not seen in approximately 5 years because the mother took off to another province.
Well, maybe. Well, if there wasn't a restraining order on you.
There is no restraining order on me.
The man's wife took off with his kid.
Well,
she kidnapped my daughter.
Let me say this, Chris.
You to say that you know what's better for our children, I guess because you lost a son, you know better than anybody does. Well, what about the 3,000 people that were killed in the buildings that were in New York City during the World Trade Center when the planes flew into it? You're against war on Iraq. There's a lot of people against the war. But quite honestly, I'm for the war. Would you rather have these towelheads flying more planes into buildings, killing 3,000 or 4,000 more people than women, children,
and fathers? I'm trying to help our children. And I don't think it's child abuse.
Do you think our armed forces is not trying to help our children or help our society by stopping Iraq from even attempting to attack us?
Wait a second. Why can't you find... Did you say it's your daughter that you can't find?
I don't even know where she is.
Well, have you looked?
What is that, a smart-ass comment?
Over and over and over.
I don't think you've looked hard enough.
Well, I have. I'm still searching. I haven't stopped the search. I've got my name all over the Internet, but that's irrelevant.
Good point, Chris, that I'm trying to make here...
Work in the circus?
Pardon? No, I do not.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chris.
My plain, simple comment is, I believe in what they're doing in Iraq.
Yes,
I have no problem with the war on them.
Yes, sir.
Some things need to be done.
Right. Yes, sir.
Well, you know something, Chris? I think I know better than you. You see...
Well, I don't think you do. I think the 3,000 people, the innocent children and women and fathers that were killed in the World Trade Center attacks know better than you do.
The who?
The 3,000 people that were killed in the World Trade Center attacks. I think they would know a lot better than you do.
Sir, I just found out, are you from Canada?
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir. Well, there's only 200 or 300 people in Canada. Why can't you find your kid?
There's...
Hello? Lady, you are unreal.
Well, I'm sorry. How many people are in Canada?
There's more than 300. There's like 30 million people, isn't there, Chris?
Yes, there is.
25 million?
As far as land-wise goes, Canada happens to be the largest country in North America, or the world, for that matter.
Well, but still, my understanding was there was only 300.
There's millions. Millions. And the man's looking for his daughter, and his wife took off with his daughter. I feel terrible for you, sir.
But most of the people that live there are Eskimo, and they don't...
I have a family. My uncle was killed by a drunk driver in a car accident, so I know what it's like to lose a loved one to a car accident. I also have my entire family that's in the armed...
Was it an Eskimo?
They come from a long line of the armed forces. And I'm quite proud of them putting their life on the line to give me my rights and my freedom.
Well, that's my father was in the Canadian Army, Chris.
Was your uncle an Eskimo is what I'm trying to find out.
What do you mean, was your uncle an Eskimo?
What kind of... I don't even understand these questions. You can't even rationalize what you're saying.
No, I'm trying to understand what it is you are. Are you native?
No, I'm not.
All right.
You mean Indian?
Yeah.
She means an Indian. That's what they call them in Canada.
That's fine.
Were you hit by a moose? What happened?
What happened was I went to school, I got educated, and I have an intelligence level that knows that there is a lesser of all evil.
Can I ask you something, Chris? Your uncle died from a drunk driver, correct?
Yes, he did.
Was the man who killed him an Eskimo in a Cadillac Escalade?
No, he was not.
Okay, thank you.
What is it? Sound suspicious?
I knew somebody like that.
Phil. This lady is unreal.
She's out of her freaking
mind. I've already taken up too much
of your time.
I'm sure
Chris, thank you very much.
Want to get
good luck finding your daughter, sir.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You. What is the purpose of that?
That's who killed my son.
Your son was hit by an Eskimo driving a Cadillac?
Yes.
In Westlake, California?
Yeah.
How do you know?
That's what people described him as.
Oh, I see. There were descriptions of the guy. All right. Bobby and Steve Dooley, anti-war movement, Mothers Against the Iraq War. They think that protesting on the streets...
he was eating whale fat.
Is it... Who?
The Eskimo.
The one that killed our son.
The guy that killed your son was driving down the street in a Cadillac Escalade, sucking on whale fat.
Yes.
There are bits of fur left at the scene.
All right, I'm done. I'm done.
Phil, you don't understand. He was clubbing a baby seal.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Car dealers in our next life.
Let's see, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Well, now, ain't that something? By the way, the preceding bit, that was me doing the voice of Bobby and Steve Dooley. And check out our website, philhenryshow.com, to find out more about our show, to find out just exactly what it is you've stumbled upon here. Because I guarantee you this, my man, this ain't like no other radio show you ever heard, and that's the truth, Roof. And if you think it's something, it ain't, believe me. I did an interview yesterday with... very nice guy with East Bay Magazine for our San Francisco affiliate, KNEW. It's got to be one of the gutsiest radio stations in America to put my show on in San Francisco. Oh, boy. Anyway, the guy was talking to me. It's a really nice guy, but he was talking about NPR this and NPR that. I couldn't figure out where he was coming from. And then I realized the point he was trying to make was that everybody up in the Bay Area listens to NPR. And I finally had to say to him, no, that's your perception. Your perception is, because your friends listen to it, everybody listens to it. I said, trust me, nobody listens to NPR. Nobody. It's kind of like, we make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. And NPR's new slug is, no one listens to us. No one. All right, why did I say any of that? I don't know. Anyway, listen to our website, or check out our website and listen to our website. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here's the thing. See, I think the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is the ultimate oxymoron. I can't think of anything more unnecessary than the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think that somebody came along and somewhere, it happened in the 70s. It happened pretty much in the early, it actually happened in the late 60s. And I'm gonna say something people aren't going to like. The British did it. The British did it. The British killed rock and roll. Now, I don't say that because I dislike the British. I don't say that because I dislike the British. I say it because it's true. When they introduced all of that art rock, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Moody Blues stuff, that was the beginning of the end. Because then it became an art form. And then, of course, we had to have a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, oh, you know, and that, and of course, now it's dead. Now it's a dead art form. However, one band was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame that I am an absolute fan of. Two, act three. Elvis Costello, I can't stand that twerp, that poncy, posing little greased-up British twit. And the Police, you can park them up your Royal American, too. But the Clash got inducted, the Righteous Brothers, and one of the all-time greatest bands in the history of the world. Now I'm going to play a track from them right now before we go to our break. Back in the Desert Storm War, as the Iraqis fled with their loot out of Kuwait, they fled up a narrow highway into Iraq. And they were fleeing with stolen equipment and stolen everything. And one fine morning, our Air Force and our Air Marines found them. And, oh, a few canisters of napalm, a few cluster bombs, whatever. There wasn't anything left alive on that road. And they called it the Highway to Hell. That's what the air guys called it. They nicknamed it that. So anyway. For you young people listening, this is what rock and roll used to sound like. When it was still around. Bon Scott. Died of alcohol poisoning. Bitchin'. Tony Neal is a longtime producer of a variety of Hollywood television and motion picture productions. He's also been a lifetime board member of the Hollywood Production Schedule Association. He joins us on our program to talk about something that has actually been the talk of the town, but I think all Americans love to watch the Academy Awards. Everybody, it's the highest rated TV event. And Tony, you with me?
Yes, Phil.
It's the highest rated TV event, isn't it, Tony?
The Academy Awards still are high at or near the Super Bowl ratings. So it's one of the two highest rated television events in the country, right?
Okay. Well, we may be at war.
I understand.
When the Academy Awards occur, is it the 23rd?
It is March the 23rd, Phil, a Sunday night.
Can you tell me whether or not, if we're at war, we're going to see the Academy Awards?
I can tell you, Phil, what I've been telling a variety of news media all day long. Those of us in Hollywood made it very clear that we are not in favor of this war. From day one, a great many of us on stage and screen made our feelings to President Bush very clear. we did not want to go to war, and the president has decided to go against what we had asked him. And on behalf of the American people, we didn't ask for no war for ourselves. We wanted to give a gift to the American people of no war. But President Bush has decided, and it looks like we will go to war.
All right. In the event that we go to war, will we be seeing an Academy Award show?
I feel, Phil, and many feel, that since the president has decided to go ahead with war, then we have decided that we're going to have the Academy Awards as scheduled on the 23rd of March, regardless.
So if the country's at war, Hollywood still goes on with an award show.
President Bush and the war planners know that many of us in this country have to make our living. We have, for instance, a very significant event. Excuse me, Phil. It's called the Academy Awards. I don't know. Maybe you've heard of it.
Well, I've heard of it, but fact is we're at war.
Well, we may be at war, but we have planned this event, and we would like to go on with this event. Celebrities from stage and screen made their feelings known. We were against the war. We let the president know that we were against the war. We tried to give him a heads up. We tried to give him advance notice on how we felt about it, and he has, for whatever reason, gone against the will, not just of Hollywood, Phil, but I think of the American people.
Tony, what if here's my question, and I hear that are you working out in the gym right now?
I'm at Gold's Gym on Hollywood right now, Phil. It's across the street from our offices.
All right, here's the question I think any American would ask. You're going to have an Academy Award show, and if that night that you're having your Academy Award show, body bags are being filled in Iraq, what if the war is causing serious casualties? Is there a point when you say we should not televise this event, for it may trivialize the death of our soldiers?
Well, Phil, that's what I mean. Hollywood was not in favor of this war. We in Hollywood tried desperately to tell President Bush, don't go to war. I didn't vote for it. No one I know voted for it. So what do you want me to do? You understand?
Well, Tony,
I mean, body bags get filled. I'm sorry, but I didn't fill them. Ms. Streisand didn't fill them. And here's something to ask, but Mr. Clooney didn't fill them. Mr. Penn didn't fill body bags.
I'm not claiming that, and I would never claim that Sean Penn or George Clooney would be filling body bags.
Could I interrupt for a moment, Phil?
I'm sorry?
Could I interrupt for a moment?
Yeah.
For the purposes of our discussion, because I work in the industry, and I think a level of respect could be accorded, and I'm saying that not for any elitist point of view, and please don't attribute to me anything elitist, but I think for the purposes of our interview that we can refer to Mr. Clooney and Mr. Penn as we refer to him in the industry, as Mr. Clooney, Mr. Penn, Ms. Streisand. And I say that so with the greatest of respect, but I would appreciate it.
I can't call him George Clooney.
I'm asking you to observe a custom that we have in Hollywood, that our great stars of stage and screen are accorded a certain level of respect.
All right, I'm not accusing Mr. Clooney or Mr. Penn of filling body bags. I just think that they will be postponed, the Academy Awards, or could be postponed because of the war. I can't see the networks putting on an award show 7 days into a war.
Phil, believe me, you're worried because you think the American people won't want to see it.
That's exactly right.
Believe me, when the Academy Awards come on, it is one of the most magical things in television. Hollywood's magic takes over. And I can tell you, and I can assure you, that once the public hears the opening music of Bill Conti and his orchestra of the Academy Awards, they will forget all about body bags. The viewer will be transported.
No, Tony, honestly,
Can I quote a letter that I received from a lady? This was after the Academy Awards show in 1996. A woman had lost her son in Desert Storm. She had gotten the news 1 month before the 91 Academy Awards that she had lost her son, a member of the United States Army Infantry, in Iraq. Her son had died, Phil.
Right.
She saw the Academy Awards, and she said to me that it was literally weeks, if not months, after being immersed, after luxuriating, after completely allowing herself to be swallowed up by the wonderful beauty and elegance of the Academy Awards. She said it was months before she even thought about her son, or, for that matter, was even really aware that he was dead or seriously injured.
I don't believe that.
I'm telling you that I received a letter from a woman who was so healed, and I think that's the word I want to use, healed by the Academy Awards, that she didn't worry that her son was dead. It was fine with her, and she could move on with her life.
All right, well, we're talking to Tony Neal. He is the one of many producers who is calling for the Academy Awards to continue on, even if we're at war. What do you guys think out there? Mr. Neal is with us. He has been a part of a great many Hollywood productions, both on television and film. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil, one other thing. I think it's important to say that the Academy Awards ceremony is really bigger than all of us. You don't cancel the Academy Awards. You don't do it. I don't care if you're President Bush. I don't care if you're Saddam Hussein. And it's going to take something much bigger. And as with the greatest of respect, I say this for our fighting men and women, much bigger than a war with Iraq, to postpone the Academy Awards for many of our stars of stage and screen.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number. Should the Academy Awards be postponed? Personally, I would tell you, I think we have too many awards shows.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
You wouldn't disagree?
No, I would not. But most of them are all copies of our award show.
Well, that may be. I mean, we've got this, the Golden Globes and the People's Choice and everything else, and I don't watch any of them except the Academy Awards.
Because it is the granddaddy. This woman who wrote from Walcott, Iowa, she had lost her young... I found the letter here, Phil. She had lost her youngest son in Desert Storm. He was an infantry man with the U.S. Army, and he was killed. And she said she got the news a month before the Academy Awards and was distraught all month until the Academy Awards came on, and she said in her letter, quote, "It was only recently that I remembered my son got killed in Desert Storm," end quote, thanks to the Academy Awards. I think it is a gift we can give a lot of Americans. Watch the Academy Awards and you won't have to think, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but you, at least for a few hours, you won't have to think about, you know, the horror of whatever happens. And I've never been to war, but I did see a lot of the preparation that went into Saving Private Ryan. I did see a lot of the preparation that went into Platoon. And it was, you want to know what was grim, Phil, the fact that both those films were over budget. That's more horrible than any war.
You know something, Mr. Neal, with all due respect, I don't appreciate your joke.
Well, I'm not trying to make a joke.
I don't appreciate the joke that you're over budget. It's more, war is a horrible thing.
Well, we are the ones in Hollywood who said don't go to war. Mr. Bush decided to ignore us.
Well, sir, I'm in favor of a war with Iraq, but I certainly don't trivialize the nature of war, nor do I think for one minute that going over budget on a movie is more horrible than any man getting injured.
Well, a year and a half ago, if those planes had gone into those buildings in March instead of September, I can tell you this, the Academy Awards would have gone on. This isn't the Emmys. You see, a lot of people like to say, oh, well, the Emmys, excuse me, we're not the Emmys. I don't know what they do or who they are or where they go or where they sleep at night or who they're sleeping with. The Emmys is the Emmys, and they can have their ceremony over at the Hollywood Roosevelt or they can have it at a Motel 6 for all I care. We are the Academy Awards. We built our own theater right next to Man's Chinese. Hello. This isn't the Golden Globes where you've got a bunch of French, German, Swiss, and other mongoloid writers in there, all kind of mongrel writers in there, and they're all crammed into some sweating banquet room at a Sheraton someplace. This is the Academy Awards, and nobody tells me to cancel it.
Sir, the President of the United States could say it.
I would respect the President, but I respectfully say to you, Phil, that Hollywood spoke, we didn't want this war, and incredibly, stunningly, Bush went ahead with it? I don't understand. We are the show that the world waits to see.
I'm not going to argue with anything you said. The Academy Awards is a glamorous and fun night to sit home and watch. But the fact of the matter is, with body bags getting filled or whatever, you know, a term we want to use, with our guys in harm's way, it might be something we'd rather not see.
Why don't you leave to me, Phil, what people want to see on television, and I'll leave to you what people want to hear on the radio.
Very good, sir, but we're still going to have a discussion about it. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Wow. Well, that's Tony Neal. He is a television producer. One of the things that I think is interesting is the comment he made that we in Hollywood told Bush not to go to war, and he went ahead anyway. What do you think? Should the Academy Awards go on if we're at war? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We are talking with Tony Neal. He is a producer of film and television about the Academy Awards. Will they go on? Wow. What line is Mr. Neal on? You there, Tony?
Yes, Phil.
Okay. I got a marching band in my headphone. You, sir, are saying essentially the Academy Awards go on regardless.
The insensitivity of that, I think, I'd like to explain. We are saying we support our troops, but not if they're fighting a war with Iraq, and certainly not if President Bush, the Academy Awards go on, Phil, through war, through stock market crashes, through presidential assassination. The handling of the golden statuette to a deserving star is the ultimate display of America. What kind of garbage would that make us? What kind of dumpster garbage would we be if we did not have the Academy Awards?
Some people might say you were being respectful of our fighting men and women. Tootsie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
That was the name of a great movie with Dustin Hoffman.
Yes.
Thank you for letting me get on.
Go ahead, Tootsie.
Tootsie, this is Tony Neal. You're named after a movie.
Tony, you should not have the Academy Awards show.
Why?
Because you should have more respect for the boys and the girls over there fighting. My husband was in the Second World War. I know what war is. And you have a lot of nerve.
Well, ma'am,
it's a shame that you're not going to be put in one of those body bags.
You want me to die? You want me to die? She hangs up. Well, I'd like to respond if I could, Phil.
Go ahead.
First of all, it bothers me when someone says something and hangs up. I work in Hollywood, California, and I use my telephone quite a bit. I'm on my cell phone a lot. I also have two office phones. The telephone is the lifeline to deals. It's the lifeline to agents. It's the lifeline to managers. It's the lifeline to the studio. And when someone hangs up a phone on me, that basically says, I'm more powerful than you. And that also is saying to me, tacitly, I think I could grease you up and treat you like a yard bitch. And I say to that...
Well, wait a minute. Let's forget about the lady hanging up on you.
You don't hang up on you don't hang up on people who use the telephone, is what I'm saying.
Let's forget about what the lady said. She says that her husband was in World War II. She understands war. There's going to be a lot of families with servicemen over there.
I'm saying they're missing a great opportunity. Watch the Academy Awards on television, and you won't have to worry about your loved one. For 3 hours, you may completely forget about your loved one. For 3 hours, you may forget that you're even married or that you even have children because you are lost in a wonderful fantasy land called Hollywood with the great stars of stage and screen.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Barbara, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I just want to say that you are absolutely outrageous, and you are, unfortunately, a very poor representation for the industry that you're trying to represent. You have spoken, and the president did not listen.
Barbara, we made it very clear. We made it very clear. Ms. Streisand made it clear as early as last spring would not support the war.
I did not vote for Barbara Streisand, thank the Lord, to be the president of the United States. Let her sing all she wants. But she does not have a vote that is distinct from my vote on this issue. This is the president of the United States. Good, bad, or indifferent, he is making a decision, in my view, based on what he thinks is right. And he is not to not do his job to the best of his ability because you have spoken. If you want to hold the Academy Awards, hold them, and people will vote with their remote. But life is not a Hollywood movie. And as a mother of two sons, it is absolutely unthinkable that there would be anything that would make me forget about my children. So I don't know what kind of a pea brain you are that you have so little regard for other people that we would actually forget our loved ones who are away at war.
I'd like to respond,
while we're
Phil,
watching
if I could.
The Academy Awards.
I'd like to respond if I could, Phil.
Go ahead.
Because this lady has monopolized the...
You were on for quite a long time, Tony. Go ahead.
I'll overlook the pea brain crack. I'll overlook a lot of the things that you said. But I'd like you to answer a question, Barbara. Where does Bush get the balls big enough to think...
Could you remember you talking to a lady, sir?
I'm sorry?
Could you remember with the B-A-L-L-S, you're talking to a lady?
Oh, get you. All right.
What do you mean, get me? I'm just saying you're on my show.
Where does Bush get the you-know-whats big enough to hold a war 1 week before the Academy Awards?
I hope you're joking. You're truly,
you're asking
truly
me if I'm joking.
Serious.
You're asking me a multi-billion dollar industry like Hollywood, and Bush is trying to oil us up like a yard bitch. And you're asking me if I'm joking.
You know, you seem to have a way of communicating that sounds like you were raised in a barn. So I don't think that you're very representative.
Ma'am,
of
I come
industry.
From a tough town. I come from a very tough town, Hollywood, all right? It's dog eat dog. And
let's just talk like civilized people. We're not trying to kill each other. Let's pretend like we're all having a cup of coffee together and nobody has got an axe to grind here. Just answer what
George
they, you know.
Bush, George Bush cannot put the
country in safety. Do you watch
movies?
Do you watch movies, Barbara? Do you watch
yes,
movies?
I do.
Then you're
yes,
a hypocrite. Then you're a hypocrite.
What?
You're a hypocrite.
I understand the difference between a movie and real life.
I can bet my life that you drive that minivan of yours every week down to Blockbuster to see our great stars at stage and screen.
First of all, I would not be caught dead driving a minivan anywhere.
Well, of all the ladies listening right now who do drive minivans, that was Barbara who said that, not me.
Get back to the original issue.
Yeah, can we get back to what we're talking about
the
here?
The safety of this nation is less important than the Academy Awards?
No.
Hold the Academy
no, no.
Awards.
Yes, all right, thank you. No way do we cancel the Academy Awards.
Well, that was my question, Barbara. Should we have an award show when the country will be engaged in an endeavor that where young men could be dying? And
See, Mr. Henry wants to over-dramatize this Iraq thing. Go to war, have all the fun you want. We will have the Academy Awards. No one stops the Academy Awards.
Good. We'll just see who watches them then.
Oh, you'll watch. You'll watch because you love the great stars of stage and screen. And because...
You know, actually, because you have something to do with it and your opinions are just appalling to me, just on this basis of this phone call alone, I will not watch.
I doubt
Thank
very
you.
Much if you're going to follow through, and you'd probably like to lick Renee's own.
Okay. Thank you very much, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. The personal comments, the crudity, all of that needs to be shoved aside.
What?
Lick Renee Zellweger's what?
I said I'd like to have a camera when she licked Renee Zellweger.
Okay, that's perfectly fine. 1-800-449... Can I get copies of the tape?
Certainly.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Should we have the Academy Awards if we're at war with Iraq? Should we hold this awards festival while men and women are in harm's way over in Iraq? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Back with Hollywood producer Tony Neal. Should we have the Academy Awards if there's a war on? You know, a lot of people are calling off the air as well, Mr. Neal, saying, yes, we'd love to see the Academy Awards.
Well, there you go. That's my point exactly, Phil.
But I don't think a lot of them are necessarily enamored of the point of view that Hollywood is end-all, be-all.
Well, Phil, you miss why people love the Academy Awards. They don't watch the Academy Awards because they don't love their country. They watch the Academy Awards because they know that what is more important to them may not be bombs falling or planes flying or whatever it is that they do over there and all of the fun that they have. And I know they're not having fun. I'm being facetious, but Americans, you know, can't think all the time about our guys getting shot. Maybe they want to think about what Catherine Zeta-Jones is going to be wearing. What will Nicolas Cage bring to the ceremony? Will Martin Scorsese be denied an Academy Award once again? Will they give another black, one of our great blacks of the stage and screen, Queen Latifah, the supporting actress award? These are the questions.
And while our guys are in harm's way, they won't be thinking about them.
Phil, I know the American people. I've been a producer of film and television and the great stars of our stage and screen for many, many years. And the American people can only think so long and so often about war before they really come back to what they know and love, and that's Hollywood and the great time that we give them. We told President Bush we didn't want a war. He wouldn't listen to us. And now he's stuck both feet in it, and he's beginning to sit down, and you know what is hanging in it. And it's hot, and it burns.
Let's go over here to John. John, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead,
yeah. Yeah, go ahead, John. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to tell you, you know, I want to ask you something, guys. You ever spent time in the military?
John, I was in ROTC at Hollywood High School, and that's about as far as I got with the military. So my hat is off to you if you were in the military. I was not, sir.
Yeah, I come out of the military intelligence, my friend, and I spent time overseas. And let me ask you something. Have you ever been to Iraq?
Yes, I was. We were shooting location for The Exorcist, the great William Peter Blatty and I can't remember the director on the project, but we were shooting location in northern Iraq.
Do you remember pretty much what happened in September of 1991?
In September of 1991, of course, the great Twin Towers collapsed as the result of the terrorist attack.
Right, and do you remember also who was really in charge of all the propaganda in Iraq at the time?
In charge? No, I don't know him personally, no.
Let me ask you something. You ever seen a man on tied with his hands and feet blindfolded with his three-year-old son on the left side, his eight-year-old daughter on the right, and his wife in behind him, and watch him get shot in the head in front of 3,000 people?
Well, I saw, we did a film, and this was with Meryl Streep. And it had a scene like that, but we cut it because we didn't have time. We didn't have the time.
Okay, well, this is Saddam,
my friend. The man's talking
about
reality, not a movie.
Well, that's right. This is Saddam, my friend.
Well, I don't believe you've seen that scene either, John.
Oh, yeah.
No,
let me tell you what. There's a lot of things that I saw.
I don't think
I'm not picking at you for your personal belief. I
can tell you this, John.
I stand for what the country represents, my friend.
I'm a film producer, and I know what people are lying. I know. I'm a film producer, and I know what
people are lying. You're either for or you're against her.
I beg your pardon?
You know, I believe in preserving life. I don't believe that we should overstep our boundaries. If you got a job to do, fine. You got a job to do, right?
Well, John, I can tell you this. While you were overseas, your family was glued to see if Meryl Streep was wearing a Harry Winston dress at the Academy Awards. And I can tell you...
Wait a minute. How do you know what his family was doing?
Well, he might have been overseas fighting for his country, but his family was at home watching George Lucas take home that gold statuette for Star Wars, the great star of stage and screen.
You think that's what my family was doing?
So, an Iraqi family getting shot or Russell Crowe in a tux. What do you think America wants to watch?
Aha! So
but
now
see,
you hit the nail right on the
you
head.
You see what he's doing? What does America want to watch? Well,
right.
let me share this with you. You're living in a fantasy, friend. You see, we're talking about a conflict of interest here, a war that's about to take place, hopefully not like another Vietnam, but apparently that's where it's on its way to.
How many Michael Jackson albums do you own?
Pardon me?
How many Michael Jackson albums do you own?
None.
See, I find that hard to believe.
None.
Why is that hard to believe?
I just think he owns some. See, because I think that America, when push comes to shove, when it gets right down to the nut cutting, when the rubber meets the road, America would much rather watch a movie than stare at some guy in a bomb shelter in Iraq, looking at some guy with his ass up out from underneath a coffee table, hiding from anti-aircraft shells. I don't need to see Bernie Ward or whoever the new anchor is. I imagine they'll probably send over Shepard Smith. Do you want to see his butt up in the air? There's a few guys that would, but I'm not one of them.
You think we enjoy seeing stuff like that and doing stuff like that?
I think the American people want to be informed, but I will tell you this, John, you were in the military intelligence, is that correct?
Yep.
What were you in charge of? What did you do? Did you go in?
Let me tell you what.
Right.
I did a job that I had to do, okay? Let me share this with you, my friend, okay? And what I saw, I didn't like, but I knew it was the job I had to do. You understand?
Well, the reason why I'm asking is I pay a pretty good price for good stories, and you were in military intelligence. Something tells me you've got a story to tell.
I don't sell what I know to the amount. I'm sorry.
I'm telling you, I don't want to know what you know. I just want to know the life that's lived by an intelligence man. I could pay you as a consultant.
Okay.
Because we're doing a movie right now starring Scott Glenn, and it involves a man who is doing deep cover intelligence for the Mossad, which is the Israeli intelligence. And I would love to speak to a guy like you who has intelligence background and who could act as a consultant, is all I'm saying.
What, are you offering him a job?
I could pay a stipend of 6 months. The job lasts about 6 months. We are on location.
Where are you on location?
We're shooting in South Africa, and we're shooting we're actually shooting in South Africa later this month, and then we'll be back in the United States doing studio work. How's that sound, John?
Well, the situation sounds good, but there's only one problem.
Yes, sir.
Well, see, the thing of it is what I did for my country, I did it because I love America and I love the freedom. And with the experience that I got, it's not for sale.
Yeah, yeah,
it's something
sure.
I'd rather put
that
behind
me. That is $150,000,
Santi. Oh, the guy said he doesn't want the job.
Jesus.
Thank you, John.
You just understand what I'm saying, okay?
Thanks, John.
But you understand what I'm saying, right?
Is he talking to you or me?
He's talking to you.
Yes, I understand, John.
Okay.
Thanks,
that's
pal.
The part, like I said, you got your belief. I wish a lot of things could end over in conversation.
$125,000 as a consultant. Think about it. Talk to your wife. Talk to your family about it. Get back to me. I'll send my attorney. I'll have my attorney draw the papers up in the morning.
Thanks.
What the hell? Deanna, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I just want to know. I just think that we're being selfish here, worried about the Grammys. What are we worried about, really?
I'm not worried about the Grammys. I'm worried about the Academy Awards.
I mean, the Academy Awards. Yeah, We can do with that 1 year of them kissing each other's hind end and telling each other how wonderful they are.
But what about the
Everyone loses out.
Don't you ever watch the red carpet at the beginning when Bill Conti strikes up the orchestra and suddenly young Deanna there in Northern California is lost in a wash of fantasy and color? The beautiful
dresses,
the great stars of stage.
I see what you're saying, but, you know, I'm 37 years old. I'm already bored with them. It's every year they just slap each other on the back and tell each other how talented they are.
Yeah.
We're all losing out, though. I mean, not to be unsympathetic to, but we all lose. We're losing at the gas pumps. We're losing in our wallets. My cousin couldn't get married because her boyfriend got called into war. I mean, everyone's got to lose something. Why should you be any different?
Well, we already told Bush we were against it, but I guess that doesn't make much sense to you, does it?
Well,
you know, our
I don't want to go to war either, really.
You know, Deanna, I'm Tony Neal. I live in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
You see Pierce Brosnan walking down that red carpet and you slide off your seat, don't you?
No, he didn't do anything for me.
You know, we couldn't be more different, could we, Deanna? I am in Hollywood with many of the stars of stage and screen. There you are, working in a cannery. I don't know. What do you do?
I don't work in a cannery. You know what? I have worked on one movie. It was a low-budget BS movie.
Oh, yeah?
I like what I do for a living.
Hell's
I
Angels
supervise convenience stores.
Listen, how about Drew Carey? Does he gun your engine?
Drew Carey? No, you know who I like? I like Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Mel
it. But
Gibson.
You know what?
You
Mel Gibson can take a night off.
Mel Gibson is one of the great stars of...
I go on stage and screen.
Yeah?
Okay, Deanna, thank you. Here is... oh, shoot, I hung up on... who did I hang up on? Did I hang up on Deanna? Here is Joanne. Joanne, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
You have a very interesting show.
Is this a man or a woman I'm speaking with?
I'm a lady.
All right.
And I would like
that
to
wasn't
say
necessary.
To, your, to
right.
your arrogant guest, I have four sons. They all served in the armed forces. My one son just retired after 26 years. And there
can I ask you to get get on a better phone, please?
I'll ask whether they get on better phones or not. Never mind, Joanne. Go ahead.
There is no Academy Award that's worth watching if we're in a war. Those are young men that are going to be killed over there.
Can I ask the caller to go find a better phone, please?
Leave that to me.
I don't happen to have a better phone.
Where do you live?
I live in Buffalo, New York. And
yeah,
I
well,
have
that about explains the phone connection.
Well, that's too bad.
Hey, B, it's
been
a tough go since they pulled the plug on Golden Girls, isn't it?
I have not watched the Academy Awards in 20 years.
Can I ask you a question?
I see no reason to watch them now.
Can I ask B. Arthur a question?
Certainly.
What have you been doing since Golden Girls?
This isn't B. Arthur.
You know, you are a very ignorant person. Very, very rude. Very
no, I'm sorry. I know who this is. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jesse Ventura. I didn't recognize you. Are you going to be running again?
Okay, what are you, a smartass now?
No, I thought it was...
No, you didn't think it was Jesse Ventura.
He's so arrogant, he's not even worth talking to. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. The great B. Arthur, star of stage and screen. Now on to the next call.
Shut up.
The star of stage and screen. One of our great stars of stage and screen.
See you later there, Tony. Tony Neal. Well, there you go. Academy Awards. And a lot of the off-the-air stuff we've been taking. Everybody wants to see the Academy Awards. They just want to have it nice, you know, respectfully done. And no don't get up there and, you know, be cool, man. Be very cool. If we're at war and one of these guys gets up there on that microphone and starts to lay it out there, man, I'm going to put a brick right through the freaking television set. God is my witness. You better just take that statue, go backstage, play with it or whatever you do with it, talk to all the assembled press, get in your limousine and bug off. Get over to Swifty's there and see if there's any more pound cake that you can dunk and sniff your scented handkerchief or whatever you cats do. Dig it? Thank you. Oh, and one more thing. Ooh, that was a good one. That's a different one. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Extremism.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. The Phil Henry Show.
Hooray for Hollywood. That phony super coney.
We milked that to death. Now, it's time for Vernon Dozier from yesterday's show.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Pretty bold. Well, say what you're saying about your own child. I got such a beautiful wife. I'll put her before my child, and the rest of you that can't say the same.
Absolutely.
Your wife must be cows. That's obscene.
Well, come on, man. My old lady used to dance in Vegas.
What, cow pals, probably.
With what?
Right, a cow palace.
No, pal. She danced at the Tropicana in Las Vegas, all right? So, if your old lady barks, that's your problem. But
there's no need to go down that road. There's no need for you guys to insult each other's women. You know, even though you really didn't insult his wife, Bill, so I apologize for that.
Look, my wife's got a rack on her. And my kid, you figure it out, man.
Kent, look at is that your
I'm trying to figure out people like you. That's the reason this world is so sick.
If you saw my old lady, you'd have said anything to get under that skirt. You'd have lied, cheated, and stolen.
No, I wouldn't, because yes, I'm very happy with my wife, and I wouldn't have looked underneath your old lady's skirt and give up my marriage for what you have.
Dude, you take a look at my old lady, and you would slit throats.
God, get a grip, will you, pal? We're talking about a boy here, your son. You haven't said anything about your son. What is he like? What is your son like?
Who?
Your son. What is he like? Does he like baseball? Does he like football? Do you know anything about him?
Who, my son?
Yes, your son. What do you know about him?
Look, he goes to school, and I don't see him a lot. So
okay, so...
I want to just say that if you saw my old lady, you'd put a diaper on just so you could breastfeed. Now, that's the truth.
Oh, my God. You're sick.
That's sick. Wait a second. You're telling me that's sick?
No, to be talking like that and putting that over your child, that's sick.
You could sharpen a buck knife on my old lady's pair.
That
look. Can we talk about your son instead of your old lady?
Whatever.
Yeah, fathers for fairness. And you told your wife you had retard syndrome, sir. It's called mental. It is called, I don't even know what it's called now. You've had me thinking this retard thing for so long. It's a mental retardation.
You'd coo and cry just to snuggle up with those milk bags.
Do you even care about your son?
Your son!
Do you care about your son?
Of course I do.
You care more about having sex than what your wife worries. You're not even...
Hey, Bill. You get a look at my old lady's. You go.
This cat's flipped out, man.
You're not with the ball game.
Hey, if you do that, my wife will. She'll go ahead and go for it.
She would.
Yeah.
I wouldn't brag that I had a wife like that.
Okay, what's
if I go goo goo, she'd go for it. Yeah, I wouldn't want a wife like that. I wouldn't brag about that on the radio.
You're kidding me. Do you like Dolly Parton? Now you must like Dolly Parton.
I like Dolly Parton as a singer.
Yeah. See the pair she's got? My old lady's got her beat. Now
I don't judge somebody by that. You know, and it don't matter what's on the outside, sir.
My son.
You know, love. You know, if you love what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside of a human being.
Do you know your son's name?
Of course I do.
What's your son's name? What's your son's name?
Don't, Mr. Henry, don't drill me like I'm some kind of a...
What is your son's name?
My son's name is Vernon Jr.
No, it isn't. It's Joshua.
Well, I don't think... I think you're lying.
Yeah, that's right. I'm lying. Thanks very much, sir. Was your wife just walk in the room?
Here she comes right now. Watch this. Excuse me, Phil. I got to put this to pen on.
Yeah.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Okay. Hooray for Hollywood. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I got all these emails that have been coming back and forth in my home. My family is now weighing in on Iraq. My in-laws, more specifically, my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, and they've all sent their emails, and I have them here in front of me. And basically, there's two members of the family who are... You know, they're against the war in Iraq. They went up to the 250,000-person anti-war demonstration in San Francisco, and they were proud to be Americans, and that's fine. One of the things that I've often said, I don't know where this started, how these guys got this fantasy going. These people who say, hey, man, just because I'm against the war doesn't mean I'm anti-American. I'm getting tired of being called anti-American. Whoever called you anti-American? Nobody did. That's like some fantasy you got. That's like you're hoping somebody calls you anti-American so you can, like, get nailed to the cross. Nobody's nailing you to the cross. Nobody is going to keep you from getting a job, and nobody's going to keep you from going into school, and nobody's going to keep you from getting a promotion. And I'm sorry, man, those days are over. You know, like here in L.A., the actors in this town who are against the war, they're fantasizing that it's they're back in the 50s and they're fighting the good fight again and they're being blacklisted. Right. Sure. So, my brother-in-law, he's a very bright guy. He goes to the London School of Economics. He's a very, very bright guy, and he's traveled the world. He's a guy in his early 40s, very intelligent, and a very successful businessman, too. He's from the Bay Area, as a matter of fact, San Francisco, or at least that's where he lives, and has been a part of a great many successful companies. So he decided to go back to school, and he wanted to get... And if you get into the London School of Economics, man, it's pretty rarefied air. Some impressive people that go there, and it's an international class of people. Well, just because you go to the London School of Economics... It don't mean you got it all together on the war. So my wife, Maria, sent the letter, and she sent the question that we've all been asking, because it's the one question that when you ask it, you will not get one answer to it. And that's because nobody who's against the war with Iraq really has an answer. They never thought about it. So when you ask this question, you'll get 9 different answers. Because all of a sudden, the people in the anti-war movement are presented with a question that they never pondered, and they really have no answer. And the question was asked, and has been asked, and we've asked it on a show. If it was a war for oil, how come we didn't take it in 91? Now, my bright brother-in-law writes back to my wife, That's because Bush had an agreement with the UN that if Saddam didn't use chemical weapons, we wouldn't go into Iraq.
What? What?
Was anybody around back then besides me? The United Nations said the mandate was to drive Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait and only out of Kuwait. There wasn't any agreement about chemical weapons with the United Nations. I was there. I remember. I'll tell you what did happen. Bush sent a note to Hussein before the war started. And the contents never really got out officially, but it dribs and drabs leaked out. And Tariq Aziz, who was the foreign minister, was so offended by the note, he said, I refuse to give this to President Hussein because this is an insulting message. And Bush said, okay, you don't have to give it to him, but you know what the contents are, and if you don't, and we do what we say we're going to do, you're going to be the guy he's going to blame. To which Aziz said, maybe I ought to give him the note. And it was basically this. You use chemical weapons, and we will use nuclear weapons. That was what Bush said. You use any chemical agents on our guys, any biological agents on our guys, we will use nukes. Very simple, very straightforward, and frankly, perfectly logical, perfectly acceptable. That's the only communication that we had regarding Saddam Hussein with the UN and what we were going to do. And the other was that we went according to a UN mandate on driving him out of Kuwait, and it was, you only go into Kuwait and no further. There wasn't any agreement that if you don't use chemical weapons, we won't invade Baghdad. That never happened. It never, ever, ever happened. My bright brother-in-law comes up with this one late one night around a bottle of Chianti with his other London School of Economic pals. You want to know why? Because there is no answer. Ask anybody against the war, they got no answer. Oh, really? It's about oil? Yeah. Okay, how come we didn't take it in 91? You're the next person. What's the answer? Because we were scared? Yeah, because we were scared. Okay, next question, next person. How come if it's about oil, we didn't take it in 91? Because we didn't need it. Oh, what was the guy that called last week? Because we didn't need it then. Now we have SUVs. Pal, how long have you been around? Oh, yeah, okay, well, we built the gas guzzlers now, so we need... So in other words, Detroit said, let's build the big cars, and then we'll go and fight a war to get the oil for them. Sure. But I guess that all comes under the heading of secret agreement between big business and big government Americans never find out about. Thank you very much. Is that what it comes under the heading of? In other words, another report on NPR coming up. How Detroit and Washington are in cahoots with each other to create bigger SUVs, so therefore we got to go to war and get oil. Like we didn't need the oil before we had SUVs. Like we weren't having gasoline crisis after gasoline crisis, price raise after price raise. Like in the late 80s, we didn't have... I'll never forget the late 80s. We had another oil scare. The price went up. Price went up before the Desert Storm War. Price went up in the late 70s. Price went up big time in the early 70s. Go ahead. Amaze your friends and neighbors. Amuse your relatives. Do it at parties. Do it around the table with your family. It's a great game. All you have to do is say to anybody who's against the war in Iraq, if it's about oil, why didn't we take it in 91? And come up and find out what different answers you come up with, and then mail them all to me. Maybe we'll post them on our website. There'll be like 900 different answers to that one. Because Bush had an agreement with the UN that if he didn't use chemical weapons, we wouldn't take Iraq. That is, without a doubt, the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. It has no foundation in fact, and it's coming from a London School of Economics student. That's doubly, like, amazing. And it's my wife's brother, who's a great guy, bright guy, a lot of fun to play pool with, good pool player. I got a prediction for you. Here it is. Listen to this and listen to it good, because here it is. This is going to happen. If we don't go to war with Iraq, this is what happens. This is what happens to a society. We don't go to war with Iraq. We don't get the votes in the UN, and we decide under public pressure we won't go to war in Iraq. The American people, the anti-war movement, Saddam Hussein, whoever, celebrate this as a victory for peace, that sensible minds have prevailed, that young American boys won't die in a useless and futile war. All right. 6 months goes by, 8 months, a year maybe, maybe two. Another terrorist attack occurs in the United States. Maybe this time it's in a shopping mall. Maybe this time it's in a bus station someplace. Maybe this time there's a lot of kids killed. Now, looking back on the fact that when we had an opportunity to neutralize a terror-sponsoring state and we didn't, we will feel basically ineffective. We will not want to look at ourselves and say we made a mistake, so what we'll do is we'll do what most Americans do. We'll blame the government. No longer will we look outside the borders of this country for the real perpetrators of the atrocity. We will fall back on ourselves and start blaming Tom Ridge, Homeland Security, President Bush, the Department of Defense, the CIA, and the FBI. We will blame all of those organizations that we're supposed to magically pay our tax dollars to, and they're going to protect you everywhere you go. So we will begin to collapse in on ourselves with self-criticism and with a completely unrealistic view of the world, sprinkle in a little stupidity, and this is the beginning of what is known in history as the dynastic cycle. You know what the dynastic cycle is, Craig? No. The dynastic cycle is the rise and the fall of great dynasties. Every dynasty has gone through it. The Roman Empire, the American Empire. And it starts from within. It begins with a relatively weak, feckless population of people who believe that really it's not their job, it's somebody else's. Well, I don't want to, you know, what's the government doing about it? How come Tom Ridge didn't, why didn't the FBI, why didn't the CIA? That's going to happen, you mark my words. We won't go to war with Iraq. We'll sit here, we'll try to bolster our defenses the best way we can. There'll be a whole bunch of self-righteous assholes who will say, see, we kept war from breaking out. And in about a year or two, another terror attack will take place. Maybe this time 5,000 people get butchered. And because nobody wants to admit they were wrong, then we'll begin to criticize the government. And we'll begin to criticize each other. And we'll come apart. And that will be the beginning of the slow, slow but inexorable disintegration of the once great, now late great, America. What a ball. So, I ain't buying it, man. I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. You can kiss it goodbye. I am not buying your bullcrap one bit. Your anti-war bullcrap is based in an unintellectual underpinning of fear and some unresolved childhood issues with authority, man. It's got nothing to do with what's right or wrong about the war with Iraq. It's got nothing to do with the caring about kids. And you human shields, boy, you guys are something else. I almost wish you'd stay over there. Now, we're going to go over, we're going to be human shields, man, and then we're going to, you know, keep the bombs from falling. Well, why aren't you still there? Well, we found out it was dangerous. I mean, who are you kidding? Jesus, even during Vietnam, people actually went on hunger strikes and actually killed themselves. I bet you it makes you nostalgic for Vietnam. Because there are people that had at least the conviction of their principle to leave the country, do something proactive, go to jail. This isn't a bunch of 250,000 housewives who are bored getting out into the street, pumping their fists up in the air with a bunch of multicolored rainbows and making embarrassingly stupid arguments against a righteous and moral war against a dictator who exports terrorism. There is no connection between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. That's what people say. You know, that's kind of like saying there's no connection between the Aryan resistance, white Aryan resistance, Aryan nation, and the KKK. There's no real connection, is there? Just so happens they all believe the same thing and they all want the same thing. So if I go after the KKK, when in point of fact the guy who might have killed somebody was in another organization, does that make me, I'm morally wrong? I'm victimizing the poor KKK? Or is it the fact that I need to neutralize all of those organizations because they're just flat bad for the country? And they're all aiming for the same thing. Anyway, AC/DC made it into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's what I really wanted to say. And we're going to be playing some of their music a little bit later on. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-4... What do you think about that? 1-800-449-8686. I'm Phil Henry.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Speaking of human shields, Margaret Gray was in Baghdad. We had a chance to catch up with her yesterday. And she really didn't want to talk to me. She didn't want to talk to me because of my pro-war in Iraq stance. Let's listen in on the conversation I had with Margaret Gray with a group of human shields in Baghdad yesterday.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Margaret Gray is on the line. Margaret, I know that you are in favor of the... I know that you're in favor of the of an attack on Iraq. Thanks for joining us.
Phil, we're very, very happy to be with you here live in Baghdad as we are against a proposed attack. Everybody, one, two, three. No war, no war.
All right, Margaret, can you please...
Phil, you fascist bastard pig. No war. All right, they're tired. Did you want something?
Yeah. You're there as a human shield against the Baghdad, you know, against the bombing of Baghdad. Are you in favor of Saddam Hussein?
You know something, Phil? I detest leading questions. I think it's very... It's irrelevant. Coming from a colonialist imperialist fool like you. No war.
Can I ask you one question?
I'm sorry, Phil. It's time for us to sing a folk song. So I'll just have to,
Hold on. That CD is scratched. Sounds... What if I played it out of this machine? Oh, I can't stand that. Here, let me try this. Sorry, folks, the CD was scratched. Let's try this again. Track two. Here we go. Margaret Gray is on the line. Margaret, I know that you are in favor of the. I know that you're in favor of the of an attack on Iraq. Thanks for joining us.
Phil, we're very, very happy to be with you here live in Baghdad, as we are against a proposed attack. Everybody, one, two, and one, two, three. No war. No war.
All right, Margaret, can you please?
Phil, you fascist bastard pig. No war, no war. All right, they're tired. Did you want something?
Yeah. You're there as a human shield against the Baghdad, you know, against the bombing of Baghdad. Are you in favor of Saddam Hussein?
You know something, Phil? I detest leading questions. I think it's very irrelevant.
Pig. What happened? We've got a skipping CD, guys. I apologize, and I really wanted you to hear that. I could recreate it right now. You want to recreate it? All right, let's go to Margaret Gray now. She is in Baghdad, and what I need here is the sound of Baghdad, and all I have is a guy working out in a gym. That doesn't sound like Baghdad. All right, here we go. Margaret Gray is in Baghdad. Margaret, how are you?
Phil, you know, I'm doing fine, but the Iraqi people, they're not doing so hot. And you want to know why? Because of George Bush's fascistic war against them. Phil, I think the time has come for all of us as human shields to be here in Iraq and to keep the bombing from Iraq.
Margaret, I think it's dangerous for you to be there. I think it's naive for you to think you're going to stop the bombing of Iraq. And I think it's necessary for us to take this dictator out.
I'm sorry, Phil. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. We're now going to sing a folk song as part of our anti-war protest. One, two, and one, two, three. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. I'd hammer in the evening, all over this land. Pardon me. I'd hammer out justice. I'd hammer out war.
Margaret, it would appear that the very first salvo of American bombs has hit your position. Are you okay?
I'm fine, Phil. One and two, and the one, two, three. If I had a ham.
Margaret, give it up, man. You are at...
Forget it. I'm going to finish my song, Phil. If...
Margaret. Don't do it. They're going to bomb you again.
If I had a hammer.
Well, that's a recreation of what went down on these very airwaves yesterday. We'll be right back. The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy.
Pastor William Renick Hour, Islam and You, Islamic Roundtable with Pastor William Renick.
Thank you very much. Today I want to talk about, and first off I want to let everybody know I've got a lot of cards and letters, and I get people writing from all over the place, and they ask me the same thing. They say, Pastor Renick, why don't you work your microphone a little closer? Why do you sound like you're coming from the other side of the room?
And I always tell them the same thing.
Every preacher that has a radio show or some kind of preacher show on the radio always stands on the other side of the room because they're such a dumbass, we don't know how to work the mic. I thank Gladys Kleachman for writing in with that question. And for writing in with that question, you let her get the Pastor William Renick, holy oil cloth. Now what I do is I am immersed in the Holy Ghost. So I go to the In-N-Out Burger stand, McDonald's. I eat a whole bunch of fries. I get myself an extra greasy cheeseburger. And then when the oil starts seeping out my skin, and I get a pimple on my nose or something like that, I wipe that stuff off just like a Stridex medicated pad, then I mail it to your ass for $10. I'd like to thank you, Ms. Kleachman. We will send that out to you post-haste, as they say. Today is Islamic Roundtable. People say, Pastor Renick, what in the hell? What in the name of sweet, feathery, light, floating Jesus is Islam? Because I got a brother, my cousin, ML, he what you call a Muslim. I said, what the hell? He said, I'm a Muslim now. I said, what the hell? You look like some kind of a damn Halloween man. What, you going to a costume party? The hell you do? He said to me, you got to understand, we got to return to the religion of our people. I said, "Who, man, I ain't swinging on a vine in the jungle no more, man. I'm driving a damn car, walking on the street, living in a house, eating food to come wrapped up in a package. You want to dress up in some kind of a dress? God damn, man. What is this? Whatever happened to Baby Jane?" I said, "There's no way I'm putting on some kind of funky Popeye hat and run around calling myself a Muslim. I ain't no Muslim. I'm Pastor William Renick. That's what I am. Now, here are today's Islamic Roundtable. Dear Pastor Renick, what is Islam? I said, what in the hell? He said to me, what's Islam? I said, Nappy, The hell you doing, man? You breathe too much of that Freon in that garage you own. Why'd you open the damn door, man, when you paint the inside of that place? What do you mean, what is Islam? He's an odd serious Beth. Why don't you do one of your shows on what is Islam? I said, well, hell, all right. All right. I'll do it. Here it is. If you hijack an airplane and fly it into a building, you Islam. If you bow your head on a carpet 5 times a day with your ass up in the air like Paul Anka or Shepard Smith, you Islam. If you read the Koran, not the Bible, the Koran. I want you to write that down. Because a lot of brothers, and you'll find a lot of the brothers out there, they're quoting the Koran now. Because like my cousin ML, they're Muslim. It ain't no Bible. I don't know what the hell it is, but it's called the Koran. If you towel wrap, turban wine, wear a rag, a tablecloth, a comforter, or a napkin on your head, you're Islam. If you are a woman and you wear a bag or a bed sheet over your head, you're Islam. If you don't smoke, drink, have sex, smile, grin, or laugh, you Islam. If you don't eat pork, barbecue, bacon, ribs, or Canadian ham, you Islam. If you are poor, raggedy ass, eat the whole out of a donut, dumbass, and you strap a bomb on and walk into a pizza parlor, you are Islam, brother. And if you think there are 7 virgins waiting for you after you blow yourself into pizza toppings, you Islam!
Inspirational Pastor William Renick Hour. Please write your comments to Pastor William Renick, Route 6, Kissimmee, Florida.
A portion of this program paid for by Pastor William Renick and donations from the Joyful Union Congregation Church, Bellflower County.
Be right back on The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.
Well, let's see. Our website is philhenryshow.com. It's a good place to find out more about the Phil Henry Show. Just go to philhenryshow.com, because if you think you know what's going on, trust me, you don't. If you're a new listener, trust me, it takes weeks. It probably takes, on average, 2 weeks. And I say on average because I've had people say to me, it took me a couple of days and I figured out what your show is about. And then I've had people say, it took me 6 months to a year, and then I figured out what your show is about. And believe me, the longer it takes for you to figure it out, the more I would probably not be prone to sitting down and, you know, maybe socializing with you. It's just a personal rule I've got. I mean, I love you, and I'm happy that you enjoy the program, but if it took you any longer than 6 months to figure this show out, I can't, in good conscience, socialize with you at all. Not that you'd want me to. But our website, philhenryshow.com, philhendrieshow.com, will tell you all you need to know about our radio show. You can also get a backstage pass. That is a $6.95 membership per month to listen to all of the audio on our website. Not only do we have long-form and short-form comedy bits in our archive, we have our 30-day archive, which features all of our radio shows for 30 days, the past 30 days, and that is every single hour. You can also listen to our show as it streams live on the Internet, no matter where you are in the world, or you can listen to it on demand throughout the day. So if you miss the live broadcast 4 to 7 Pacific, you can pick it up whenever. Just, you know, log on, check it out. Who knows? Also, we have our souvenir shop and some wonderful items in the souvenir shop in time for whatever. I don't know, Father's Day or something. Something's got to be happening. A birthday? Anniversary? St. Patty's Day? pick up our fine Irish Bobby Dooley, the president of the Western Estate Homeowners Association, designed Western Estates Country Club polo shirt. As you know, Bobby Dooley and her disgusting husband, Steve, they reign over as the PTO and PT and HOA presidents of their community. They reign over their community as sort of de facto dictators, cultural dictators, typical suburban Nazis running the lives of all who live within the hollowed walls of Western Estates, whether it be the community pool, the community center, speed bumps, or just sticking their noses into the personal lives of people that live there. They make living in a gated community one hellish nightmare. You must have this Western Estates Homeowners Association official Country Club polo shirt. Get it in our souvenir shop. It comes in small, medium, large, extra large, and double extra large. And coming soon, maybe, we'll have spa robes. Now, Craig looks at me and he goes, what are you, a fag? No, seriously, I understand there's a generational divide. Young guys don't wear robes. You wear a robe, Pelton? You kind of fall. You do, see, because you're kind of old man river in there, man. It's weird. I mean, robes are cool. You can get out of the freaking tub. You can walk around with your old lady or whatever if the kids are home. Because you don't have no kids, you can walk around stark raving naked. Of course, you don't have no old lady either, so... And he doesn't mind walking around nude in front of his roommate, so the problem is solved there. So, check that out. We also have our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, which is a real favorite, man. Those are going like hotcakes. Not only... The Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt is so popular, we're coming out with a new Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. A different design, different color... Maybe a sort of just a different fabric, but we want to kind of give you two to choose from because people are just all over that thing. They're all over that like white on rice, like stink on crap. They love it. We also have, of course, our Jay Sano Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. The Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt is in black and silver. And, of course, the official Phil Henry Show T-shirt, which is a red and also a black T-shirt as well. And that's something that... you should pick up. It's all there for you on our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Another reason not to skip breakfast is the title of an article that I was reading here. I wanted to share this with you because, you know, they're always telling you sugar-laden cereals, high-fat muffins in the morning may not be the ideal fare, but eating anything for breakfast seems healthier than skipping the first meal of the day. It's kind of an interesting battle that I fight every morning. Not that it's unique, but it's interesting, and I fight this... Three mornings a week when I take the kids to school, because my wife has her own radio show that she does at 9 a.m. on a local station in Thousand Oaks, KCLU, which, by the way, is NPR. And my wife is decidedly conservative. She's a Republican through and through. And she doesn't get it about NPR. She'll come out and she'll say things like, I don't think kids should smoke marijuana. And the people that call her show are like, why, you Nazi. You know what? So I got to take the kids to school. Well, every single morning it's the same old thing. Okay, what are we having for breakfast? I don't know. Have you ever seen somebody open a pantry door and just stare? That's my kids. Or if there's donuts laying around, forget it. That's what they're having for breakfast. If I were them, I'd do the same thing. But I'm the guy that has to get them to have protein. It's my wife. Make sure they have protein. Well, what if they just make sure they have protein? I don't care what it is. I got to get these guys, what are you having for breakfast? I'm not hungry. Have something for breakfast. Anything for breakfast. I'm not hungry. I don't want to eat. You're eating. No. You're eating. Eat yogurt. Have a piece of cheese, a banana, anything. Eat. But what if I'm not hungry? Eat. Throw it up later, but eat. God, I don't have to keep having this conversation with you guys. Have something to eat. What are you doing? I don't know. Well, make something to eat. I got four of them. Get something. What are you doing? I'm watching the news. Forget the news. Get over here and eat something. What are you guys eating? I'm having a donut. Nope, sorry, not good enough, man. Mom says it's okay. Bull crap. Mom said it was all right if we had a donut. Maybe she said it was all right if you had a donut. Doesn't mean that's all you're having for breakfast. I'm not hungry for anything else. Oh, really? Oh, you're not hungry yet? Well, then maybe you're not hungry for the donut. No, I did want that. Sure. There's nothing to eat. Let me see. Let me open that. Nothing to eat. Let's see. There's like 5 quarts of milk. There's a whole thing of orange juice. I'm looking at eggs. I'm looking at yogurt. All that Dannon that I'm buying against my better wishes because it's made by a French company. I haven't forgotten. Go to our website. Click on Boycott French Crap. And that'll give you a list of items that you can boycott. We're actively endorsing a boycott. In fact, we were the first guys to call for one. Not that you'd notice it, but we were. Like, what was it, Chris? A month and a half ago? I was on the air saying, what can we boycott from France? And we figured there was nothing. You know, it was like water and maybe wine. And somebody came up with Bic lighters. Well, there's a whole list of stuff. So that's the only thing that I'll, that's the only time I'll let my kids go to school without having eaten anything. If there's the only thing to eat in the icebox is French, then I'll say, go to school and drop from low blood sugar. I don't care. Go ahead and faint. So what do you have? So we got the yogurt. You're looking there. I got bagels. I got cheese. We got lunch meats. I don't care what you have. You know, you can have spaghetti and sausages for all I freaking care. Just eat. The kids sometimes, they'll have Chinese food. Because we had Chinese the night before. We had the Chinese. Eat that. I got no problem with that. Have some pizza. As long as there's a little pepperoni on it. But in our house, see, my wife, she's against fat. Me, I'm against sugar. That's where the roads divide and lead off into different areas. Maria thinks there's nothing wrong with sugar at all. She doesn't mind it in the least. She's got all kinds of candies and crap laying around. What she don't like is fat. So why is she like me? Anyway. Let's finish now with this selection from Vivaldi. These guys are being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, along with the Righteous Brothers and the Clash, the only three groups that really deserve it. But I say, nuke the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here she is, Doris Day.
Real big shrimp.
Getting there.